Andrea is going to come and bring that to us.
It's okay. So today reading is from Psalm 139, 1 till 16. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become my night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like a day, for darkness is a light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, let's just lift up Mike as he brings God's word to us. Father, we thank you for Mike. Lord, we just ask that you'd come by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning and take the words that he has prepared and use it to glorify your name. Amen.
Okay, I thought we'd spend some couple of weeks before August, where we'll have an array of visiting speakers, just to look at some psalms. And Psalm 139 is what we're going to be looking at today, and it's a psalm that we've looked at before, but I think it's timely to look at again. I think the great commentator Warren Wiersbe once said, when he was asked what he would do differently if he had his time in ministry again, he said, "I would encourage God's people more." And this was from one of the great encouragers, Warren Wiersbe. I don't know if you've read his books. He's got a whole library full of commentaries. And he was a great man of God, a great encourager. And yet his desire was to encourage God's people more. And Psalm 139 is a psalm full of encouragement. And we're going to be looking at that that in part this morning. I wonder if when you walk through the doors today to come in, there was, you may or may not have known it, but there was a special device on top of the door that scans your brain as you walk in. And then what's in your brain, what's gone on in your life, what you've done, what you've said, what you thought throughout your life is taken and recorded and stored for us to be able to show on the screen to everybody else if you don't behave yourselves. I wonder how you would feel about that if that were possible. And as you walked in, everything you'd ever thought, said, or done, or are doing right now that nobody else knows about is scanned and available for it to share with everybody else. I would find that very, very uncomfortable. But Psalm 139 tells us exactly that. It speaks a lot about God's foreknowledge And that is the topic that I want us to focus on from this psalm this morning. Amongst, there's other things we can, but I want to focus on God's foreknowledge. And Psalm 139 tells us that before you were born, God knew you. And he knows everything there is to know about you. He knows all the things no one else knows about you, even those that who are closest to you. And yet, despite God knowing every detail of your life and of your character, the Bible says he still chooses to love you. And I find that incredibly remarkable when I look at my own life and I look at the sort of person I have been and in many ways still am, that God knows all of the stuff about me, and yet he still chooses to love me. So God foreknew you, and he called you according to his purpose, that you might be conformed into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that one day you will share in his glory, i.e. heaven. That's God's purpose for every believer. If you're a Christian here this morning, that is God's plan and purpose for you, that you be shaped into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that on that final day, you will share his glory with him for all eternity. That is God's purpose for you. And although we don't fully understand this teaching, it's one of the most amazing discoveries that you make when you become a Christian, that God had you in his mind and in his sight before you ever thought about loving or committing yourself to him. He knew you before you had any sort of inclination to follow him. And his prediction on the basis of his knowledge of you is that you will be in heaven and that you will reflect the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. He already knows where it's going to end up for you. He already knows where your life is going to end up, how it's going to end up. He's begun a work in you and he will complete it. You're going to get there because God had it all worked out before you were even born. And if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you have the joy of knowing that God willed that you should exist. He willed you into being. You are no accident. There are no such things as accidental births. Verse 13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Isn't that amazing? You knit me together in my mother's womb. You created me in my inmost being. God planned you, and you were conceived in love, in the mind of God, before the world began. And I wonder this morning, as you reflect on this, and maybe go home and reflect on this, read this psalm, I wonder as you do so, if there can be anything more wonderful than this. Whatever your history, whatever you may think about yourself, if you have low self-worth, if you have been rejected, abandoned, felt unloved, if you've only ever been loved conditionally, if you've been abused mentally, physically, sexually, whatever your background, God identified you as the object of his love. And he planned you before you were born that you should reflect in the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you become a Christian and discover this wonderful truth, it is the most healing discovery that you could ever make. That God should feel like this about you. And the incredible thing is that he does so knowing all about your failures and your mistakes. That's the incredible thing about it. You see, your salvation is not something that you can achieve. It is a miracle of God's love, grace, and mercy. And if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, your salvation does not rest on your faith, but on God's faithfulness. That's what it rests on. And that's just as well, because if you're anything like me, my faith is often frail, it's often weak, and it's very often shaky. And I want us this morning very briefly to look at just three simple practical ways that we can use this wonderful doctrine of God's foreknowledge to help us grow in our faith. And the first way that I believe this knowledge, this doctrine helps us, God's foreknowledge helps us to develop intimacy with him in prayer. Think about it for a moment. How does that happen? Well, think about it. God already knows everything there is to know about you, and it hasn't stopped him from loving you. That means that you could say things in prayer to him that you wouldn't dream of saying anywhere else or to any other person. You wouldn't. Because he already knows anyway. He knows it. So you can share it with him. The things that make you most ashamed. The things that you would hate anybody in this congregation or in your own family to know about you. He knows. You can talk to God about that because he already knows and it hasn't stopped him from loving you. He hasn't said, oh gosh, stay away from me. He hasn't done that. He said, come, despite that. Let's deal with it. God's foreknowledge means that when God made it his purpose to save you, he knew in advance everything that there is to know about you. And that's incredibly reassuring. And the reason that it's reassuring is because it means there are no surprises that you're ever going to spring on God because he knows you. You cannot surprise him. Nothing in your life is hidden from God. You can't shock or surprise him. He created you. You can tell God your struggles, your temptations, your worries, your fears. He knows. You can lay them out before him and he will give you his undivided attention. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my coming and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And even before I have said anything, you know what I'm going to say. God knows you. And this God invites you to spend time talking with him in intimacy. Isn't it incredible that he should long for you to do that? This is why sometimes I get so annoyed, with myself included, why the hardest thing for Christians to do so often is to pray. Either pray on their own or come and pray corporately as one. And yet it is the most intimate thing that we can do. It is the thing that God has made available to us in a remarkable way. And we just shun it. So God's foreknowledge helps us with intimacy in prayer. We can come to him knowing that he longs to spend time with us and he does so knowing all the things about us anyway, and it doesn't stop him from loving us. Secondly, God's foreknowledge helps you to have confidence in his will for your life. Think about it for a moment. If God knows you, then you can be confident that he will never put you in a situation that is not possible for you to handle. And as you follow Christ in obedience, you will be put into situations where you will feel completely out of your depth sometimes. But God doesn't do that to drown you. He does it to teach you how to swim. And because God knows you better than you know yourself, he will sometimes move you into things that you would never choose for yourself. You don't need to be afraid when he does that. You don't need to be afraid of the will of God ever in your life, however scary it may appear to you. And when you follow his will, you will have the joy of discovering that God's will fits you in a way that you would never ever have imagined. God will never lead you into something which you are totally unsuited for. So you haven't got to worry about that. I'm not saying that God's will is always going to be comfortable. Clearly, it's not. It won't always be comfortable. The will of God was not comfortable for Jesus, was it? Not by any stretch of the imagination. He led a terrible life, a man of sorrows. gave up his throne and lived for 33 years as a human being with all the limitations of that. And then he suffered and died a horrific death preceded by horrendous torture. But he was in the will of God. But it wasn't comfortable. It led him into betrayal, into isolation, torture, imprisonment, suffering and pain and the cruelest of deaths. But when the will of God is hard, you have this promise. You will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not give you more than you are able to carry. God says, I know where your limit is. I created you. I will not push you to be tested beyond what you can bear. I know better than you how much you can put up with. And the only person who knows your limits precisely is God, and that's his promise to you. So you can be confident in the will of God for your life. And what he's calling you to do, you can rest assured that in his strength, you will be able to do. And by his grace, you do not need to fear when you're in the will of God. So use God's foreknowledge to grow in confidence for the will of, for the will of God in your life. Use God's foreknowledge to have more intimacy in prayer with him. And thirdly and finally, God's foreknowledge helps to build assurance regarding your final salvation. A lot of Christians live with nagging doubts about their salvation. They'll have communion, they'll attend church regularly, they may even serve in some sort of ministry regularly. And that may be you this morning. But somewhere at the back of your mind, there's this question, there's this nagging doubt, despite the fact that you say and do all the right things. And the question is that you're asking yourself, will I actually make it at the end of the day? Will I really get to heaven? Is it actually really going to happen for me? And there's a reason why this question is in your mind. And the reason is that you're pretty disappointed with yourself since you've become a Christian. You don't feel that you've done very well as a follower of Jesus. You can understand how God could forgive all the stuff before you were converted. But the problem is that you feel you ought to be doing much better now that you are a Christian. How can God forgive you for the stuff that you're doing now as a follower of his? So let's go through a little checklist on how you're doing as a Christian. And let's mark you out of 10. What marks will you give yourself out of 10 for prayer? What do you give yourself? What mark would you give yourself for loving those folk you find difficult? What mark would you give yourself for self-sacrifice? What mark would you give yourself for purity of heart and mind? What would you give yourself for commitment and faithfulness? And you drop your head and you say, well, I've got a couple of threes, a couple of twos, and a whole load of ones. I told you, I'm a lousy Christian. I wonder if you ever feel like that. I do regularly. Well, here's the thing. And please, if you go out with nothing else this morning, let this be embedded in your heart and mind for the rest of your lives. Whoever told you that you had to be perfect before Christ could love you? Whoever told you that? Whoever told you that you had to be good enough? Maybe your parents put that on you, or your spouse, or your siblings. But whoever told you that you had to be perfect before Christ could love you? And secondly, whoever told you that you had to be perfect before you could love Christ? Whoever told you you had to be perfect before Christ could love you? Whoever told you you had to be perfect before you could love Christ? God knew you and God loved you before you ever existed. Not because you would be good, not because you would be obedient, not because you would be perfect, because clearly he knew you wouldn't be. But simply because he just loved you. Hands up if you're a parent, if you love your children because they're good all the time, because they're obedient all the time, and because they're perfect. Who's got children like that? Can you put your hands up if you have? But you still love them, don't you? You don't not love them because they're not perfect or always obedient or always good. God knew in eternity what kind of Christian you would make. He knew all the areas you would fail in. He knew exactly when and where you would let him down. He knew exactly what you would be like, and he still chose to love you. It didn't change a thing. And if God planned to make you like Christ before the foundation of the world, then you can be sure he's not going to mess up in 2021 or any other time. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You are familiar with all my ways. You see, it's actually no surprise to God when you sin. God was not shocked at what you thought about last week. He knows what you're like. And you may have been surprised at yourself, but that's because you don't know yourself half as well as he knows you. God knew all of this when he set his love on you before you were born. And God says, I knew exactly what you were like before I ever took you on. And nothing that's happened in your life has been a surprise to me. And I have determined that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. And that will happen for those who love Jesus. That will happen for those who love Jesus. So as we conclude, God's foreknowledge helps us with intimacy. God's foreknowledge tells us we don't have to worry about his will for us. And thirdly and finally, God's foreknowledge helps us with assurance in our final destination. So God knows exactly what he's doing, and his love for you will never give you up. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you may not feel very Christ-like, but whether you realize it or not, you reflect something of the image of Christ in your life. Every one of us does. And God isn't saying that when you become a Christian, you become perfect overnight. That's not what the Christian life is. You become work in progress all your life. What he's saying is that when you become a Christian, a process according to God's purpose was started in your life and will continue throughout your existence here on earth and will only be completed when you come face to face with God the Father in heaven. And on that last day, when you come and you see Christ face to face, you will be presented before God the Father as pure and as spotless and as perfect as Jesus Christ. And God's purpose for your life will be completed, will be fulfilled. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see why this psalm is so encouraging? Aren't you glad that you're a follower of Jesus this morning? And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, why on earth not? Why wouldn't you want to? In the light of these wonderful truths, why would you keep the door shut on Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like all of this to be true of you? Well, it can be. And it can be right now. You don't have to wait a second longer. I think we're all followers of Jesus here this morning, but I don't know everyone. But I'm just going to pray before we go into our final song. A prayer inviting anybody who doesn't know Jesus to embrace him as their Lord and Saviour this morning. And these things that we've just been talking about will be true of you with immediate effect. So let's just close our eyes. And if you want to repeat this prayer after me, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you would like to be, please do so. Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that in doing so, you took my punishment, the penalty for my sins. You paid the price I should have paid. And because you did that, all my sins, past, present, and future, can now be forgiven. So I receive you right now as my Lord and my Saviour. Come into my life and take your rightful place. Cleanse me afresh and embrace me as your child as I give you my life and put you in pole position of that life right now. I receive you as my Lord and my Saviour. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do let me know at the end of the service and we'll chat to you about what the next step in your newfound faith and relationship with God is to be. I just want us to stand for a moment, the rest of us, and I just want to pray a prayer, and then please feel free to sit down. If you're not able to stand up, that's fine. Or if you don't find it comfortable, just remain seated. And I just want to invite the Spirit of God as I give some words out to see if they resonate with anybody. And then we're just going to go into our final song. In the pre-service prayer meeting that we have every Sunday, at the back there, we had these words, that there is hope and help for the hopeless. So maybe there's someone here this morning and you feel your situation is hopeless, and the Lord would remind you that there is, with him, nothing is ever hopeless. That he's the Lord of hope and he's the Lord of help. And you need to just bring the situation to him afresh this morning. We had another word that says, what is unseen is eternal, and what is seen is temporary. So don't look around, don't look at your circumstances around you. Instead, look up at me. And maybe somebody here this morning has just got embroiled in their life circumstances, and as you've kept looking down, that has dragged you down into a pit of despair. And the Lord will remind you that you need to look up to him. Look up to him. And as you do so, the things of this world will begin to grow strangely dim. And the word that says the blood of Jesus will unveil in your situation. And then for somebody, we had the word, there's a wind of change coming into your life. There's a wind of change that's coming into your life. And finally, Matthew 11, somebody had the words, that well-known verse that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A call just to come to Jesus and rest at his feet instead of trying to sort out our weariness and carrying our burden by ourselves. He will give us rest as we come to him and rest in him. And finally, a declaration to the greatness of God that says, "You are worthy of it all. You deserve the glory." Did we sing that earlier on? Was that one of the songs? Okay, well, we weren't to know that we were singing that song, but somebody said, "You are worthy of it all, and you deserve the glory." So an opportunity for us to focus on the greatness of God, and whatever our situation in life is at the moment, to give him glory and to declare how worthy he is. And as we declare God's greatness and give him glory, then the things that are dragging us down will begin to lift. I just want to pause, and I just want us to rest in a moment of silence as I invite the Spirit of God to come and deal with you personally. If any of those words resonate with you, for you now to do business with God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have spoken to us this morning in a number of different ways. Thank you that you've taken that same word and are using it in different ways to connect with each of us in our life circumstances. Thank you that you know each one of us better than we know ourselves, and you know better than we do what it is that we need. And we thank you for the additional words that you have spoken out that will resonate with a number of us here this morning. So Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to you now. And as we focus on the word that you have given us, we invite you to come right now and minister to us in and around that word, or in any other way that the Lord has spoken to you this morning. And I want to give us a minute or so of silence, just allowing the Lord, the Spirit of God, to do that. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come. Spirit of God is here and is resting on a number of people. Just continue to allow him to minister to you. He's gentle and you don't need to fear his presence upon you. Just allow him to rest upon you. Thank you, Lord.